From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
As we offer a welcome to stranger and friend, as we are embraced in their kindness, we choose to be people of life and blessing. As we serve others in God's name, as we receive blessings from those we do not know, we choose to walk in God's way. As we forgive those who have hurt us, as we reach out to those we have harmed, we choose to be reconciled to our sisters and brothers. We come to offer you praise and worship on this day, Almighty King. We lift up our hearts to you. May you be enthroned on our thanksgiving, our praises, and our prayers. And we come before you now praying the prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Oh, Illumination is led by Carla Clennon.
Still speaking God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson and our sermon entitled Anger is Like a Headache are by our pastor, Reverend Lovins.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's interesting, the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew and the New Testament written primarily in Koine Greek. But there are a few passages of Scripture in the Bible that were written in Aramaic. And what I'm about to read, there's a section in there, a little sliver in there that's in Aramaic, one of the unique passages in the New Testament. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And here it is. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, okay, that's the Aramaic word, Raca, which means empty head or idiot. Anyone who says to their brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth. You will not get out until you have paid the last penny. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is talking about the importance of us living our lives from the inside out rather than from the outside in. And it was common for people in Jesus' day to have a fixation on the external observation of the law, specifically the oral law that was elaborated on by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, stuff really that they added to the scriptures to help the people. And Jesus is very revolutionary here. He's very explosive in what he says, because it was common for Jesus' contemporaries to say, yes, we shouldn't kill, we shouldn't murder. And then to say, but of course, if you haven't pulled the trigger, if you haven't wielded the knife, if you've not snuffed the life out of somebody, then you are guiltless. You have not murdered somebody. And Jesus says, well, not so fast. Because murder is much more than just squeezing the life out of somebody or pulling a trigger. He says that murder actually begins in the heart through seeds of anger. And this anger grows and grows and grows until it ends up in murder. He says that murder isn't just something that you do on a Saturday night in a flash of anger, but it begins as thoughts and feelings of anger in the heart that fester and seethe and brood over time. And so he says, if you want to end bloodshed and violence and murder, uproot anger from the heart. It's sort of like this pan that I brought with me this morning. Last night I was trying to make some sauce for some spaghetti that I was going to eat, and I put the sauce on and I was watching a movie at the same time, and I thought that everything was fine, but in the process of the whole thing, I forgot about the sauce. And so I didn't remember it until it started smelling odd and smoking. And then I ran into the kitchen and I looked at the pan, and the pan looked like this. It was just black, charred on the bottom, crusty, ugly. And I thought, you know, that's kind of how anger is. When we're driving down the road and someone gives us the bird or someone insults us, we have a flash of anger, and that's perfectly natural. But what Jesus is warning against is this sort of thing. allowing the anger inside of us to seethe, to grow more intense, to sort of boil over until it becomes a settled part of our personality, and until our soul becomes black with anger, charred with anger. And Jesus says, when you get to this point, watch out, because you're about ready to be thrown on the trash heap of life. You're making a destruction of your life. And so Jesus is very serious about dealing with anger. In fact, in this sermon of all sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing that Jesus deals with topically is this problem of anger. This kind of anger that says, you fool, you idiot, you raka. Some scholars say that really raka is not so much a word as it is the sound that you make when you spit. You fool, you idiot, you worthless person, you empty-headed jerk. Jesus says, when you start thinking like this and carrying that around in your heart, your life is being set on fire by the fires of hell. And so Jesus talks about how we might get free from this anger in our life that is potentially destructive. I can recall when I was in junior high, I was a church-going person. I grew up in the church. I knew the Lord's Prayer. I knew the Scriptures. I was part of the church orchestra. And I had a very high opinion of myself when I was just a little runt. And yet, I can recall back even when I was in junior high, there was this kid in school by the name of Kent. And it was something about Kent, his hair, or the way he dressed, the way he looked, the way he talked, something about his personality that just irritated me, just agitated me. He was kind of not comfortable in his skin, and so that made me feel uncomfortable. And I remember even as a little guy, I used to put him down and call him names. I said horrible, awful things to him just to belittle him because he made me so angry when I got around him. Well, it wasn't until I made a serious commitment to my own discipleship that the anger in my heart was replaced with love and kindness and respect for Kent. But the other day, I felt so bad about it. Even after 30 years, I actually got on the phone and I called Kent up. And I said, hey, Kent, how's it going? We grew up our whole lives together. And I actually said, look, man, when we were kids, I used to say these things and I said this once and I treated you horribly and would you forgive me? And he's like, man, I don't even remember that any of that happened. I don't know if I should forgive you now. That's horrible, you know. But he forgave me, and we had a good laugh about it. And, I felt lighter inside. I felt better about it because God wants us to live with kindness and love and grace rather than anger in our hearts. And this is such an important thing that Jesus makes it the first topic of discussion in the Sermon on the Mount. After he talks about different virtues that we should have and our relationship to the law of God, he goes right into this topic of anger, and it's so important that Jesus says some things that I can't even believe he said. He said, if you have seething, burning anger in your heart, and your heart and your soul is being made black with anger, he says, what you need to do is, first thing, leave church. What he says, leave church. Really? A preacher said that? Yes. Jesus said, leave church. He says, if you find yourself going to church or to temple, and you're there with your sheep or your goat, and you're about ready to make a sacrifice and offer your gift, and right in the midst of offering your gift, you remember that you committed a wrong against someone, that you hurt them, that you injured them in some way. He says, leave your gift right there in front of the altar. Go back home. Reconcile with that brother or sister, and after you try to get that worked out and make peace, then come and offer your gift. Then come and offer your gift. Now, Jesus is probably being just a little bit humorous here because Galilee was about a three-day journey to get to where the temple was at. So imagine a guy coming to the temple, offering his gift, being seized with guilt and remorse, and leaving his goat or his sheep sitting there for almost 6 days before he comes back and offers the gift, offers his worship. But Jesus says this because he's trying to emphasize how important it is that we deal with the anger in our hearts. Now you're wondering, why are you talking about anger today? Why are you talking about murder? Pastor, do you think we're a bunch of murderers? Well, in about 2 weeks, this church is about ready to go on a journey. And a journey to find a new leader, a new pastor, a new worship leader. And I can't think of anything more important than finding a new worship leader. I can't think of anything more important than finding someone who will teach the Word of God, pray for the people of God, care for the people of God, and lead people in truthful, Spirit-filled worship. I think that that is preeminent. That's tops. But that's me. Because Jesus actually says in our text today that there's something, one thing that's more important than worship. You know what Jesus says that is? Jesus says relationship is more important than even worship. He says a spirit of reconciliation among people is even more important than the orthodoxy of our worship. He says it's so important that until you work it out with your brother, until you make an attempt to be at peace with your sisters and your spiritual family, don't even offer your gift. Don't even offer your worship. Work it out first with your brother or sister. Then your offering or your gift becomes acceptable and beautiful to God. So Jesus, a preacher, says, leave church and reconcile. Then come offer your gift. Then he says something else. He says, and oh yeah, by the way, make friends, not enemies. Make friends. Now that sounds kind of like Mr. Rogers-esque, doesn't it? Oh, let's just make friends, you know. Let's be happy, happy, happy. But again, this is very explosive what Jesus says. Because if you remember anything about the Jews and the way they felt about Gentiles and Romans, they didn't regard those people as friends, but as enemies, right? In fact, if you read about Jewish culture in Jesus' day, the Jews lusted for the day of God's judgment. They longed for it. They were licking their chops for God to finally come back and pour out his wrath on their enemies so that they could be vindicated and justified. That's what they wanted. Oh God, sick them, was their attitude. And vindicate us. They long for this. And Jesus says, oh, hold on now here. Be careful there. You really think that's going to go very well? He says, don't see the people that you meet as enemies. Treat them as potential friends, because every person you meet is made in the image of God. Even those dogs, those Gentiles. And Jesus, if you keep on reading the sermon, says, God doesn't show partiality. God doesn't play favorites. Remember what he says? God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. I remember in my studies that there was a time, and you remember this too, a time in our nation's history where anger was at a fever pitch. The North and the South, they were at each other's throats over the issue of slavery. Abraham Lincoln was trying to bring peace to our nation. The story is told that one time he's sitting with his cabinet and he begins to talk about the Southern rebels, and he begins to speak of them in this warm, affectionate tone as if they were his own children. And one of Lincoln's advisors rebukes him and he says, sir, don't you realize that the rebels, they're not for us, they're against us. They're our enemies, and we should be out to destroy our enemies. And what Lincoln says is so powerful. Sounds just like something Jesus would say. He says, have I not destroyed my enemies when I make them my friends? Wow. Have I not destroyed my enemies when I make them my friends? That's what Jesus is getting at. Don't look at those people like they're enemies. They could be your potential friends. Paul said the same thing. He said, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Overcome evil with good. I have a friend who, she's a horrible driver. Horrible. And she's a slave to the speed limit. To the point where she'll be going down the road and she's always like 5 miles underneath the speed limit. And so there's always people coming up behind her and honking at her and, you know, getting upset. And then after they've had enough, they'll drive on past and they'll give her the bird and give her ugly looks and cuss at her. But she never responds in kind. Instead, when they're passing on by and they're cussing at her and yelling at her and calling her awful names, she just blows them kisses. I said, well, what do they do when you do that? And she said, well, usually they just bust up in laughter. It completely disarms them, right? And I think Jesus would say that's a much better way than trading insult for insult. He says, you got anger in your heart, watch out, because you can be burned up with anger and ruin your life and destroy your life. That can grow and grow and just get out of hand. So he says, leave church and work it out. Then he says, make friends. And then he says something else. He says, do this quickly. Do it quickly and do not delay. St. Paul said, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't do it. Why? Because it'll get out of hand. Your soul, your heart will end up looking like this on the inside. You'll just get burned up with that stuff. And it'll be like your life is a wasted life. Now Jesus here takes us into the courtroom. And in Jesus' day, if you had an issue with your brother or sister, the law said that you could settle that between the two of you at any point. I mean, you could be outside of the steps of the courthouse getting ready to walk into the courtroom to see the judge. And if the two of you come to an agreement on a settlement, then it's over with. It's done. But the law said once you get into the courtroom and you stand before the judge with your case, now it's completely out of your hands. And it's in the hands of the judge. And the judge will rule, and Jesus insinuates, and it may not go according to plan. You may not get the verdict that you thought you would get. Because you see, here's what I've learned about anger. I've been angry before. Have you been angry? Raise your hand if you've been angry before. All right? Like really, really so angry you could spit. Here's the thing with anger. When you're angry, you think you're right, don't you? When you're really good and angry, you see your side and you don't see anybody else's side. You are right. You think you're God in that moment, that you have all the facts, all the data. It all makes sense to you, and that person over there, they're the idiot. They're the empty-headed fool. They're the ones that they don't see, right? That's how anger is. And we read that in the book of Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 16:2, every man is innocent in his own eyes. The King James says that every man is pure in his own eyes, but motives are weighed by the Lord. When I was a kid, I really did think I was really pure and innocent. I went to church, you know. I sat on the platform at church, right? I was the perennial choir boy. I never missed a Sunday. But then I start looking at the scriptures and I see, well, maybe not so much. I remember there was a time in my life where someone tried to bring some charge against me, and I thought they were being a little bit too heavy about it. And I remember saying, these words came out of my mouth, and I said, well, I'm not a murderer or anything. You ever said that before? And yet Jesus says, I am. Because if I go all the way back, I was murdering Kent's self-esteem. I was murdering Kent's self-confidence. I was murdering Kent's self-image. And had I kept it up, maybe I could have murdered his future with my word. Scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I don't know why I did that. I don't understand it completely. I know part of it was a mixture of fear with pride. Fear that I didn't like this Kent guy, and I probably didn't like him because he reminded me of me. And I saw something in him that I was afraid that was in me. And so in order to kind of boost my own self-confidence, guess what I did? I put him down. Stomped on him. Called him a name. You fool. Raka. And you'll find that when you're angry and when you have a seething anger in your life, at the bottom of it, at the root of it,
at the very core of it is ego. Pride.
Reminds me of this fundamentalist Christian who goes to see the doctor. Oh, he's having all kinds of problems with headaches, splitting headaches. And he goes into the doctor and he says, "Oh, doc, I have such pain, I can't get control of it, and I don't understand why this is happening to me." He says, "I don't do what other people do. I don't smoke like they do. I don't drink like they do. I don't run around and party like they do. And I don't gamble like they do. Doc, why do I feel so horrible? Why do I have this splitting headache? I'm not like other people." And the doc says, "Now tell me about this headache. Is it like a real stabbing pain right in the front? And then after a while, it kind of goes away. But when it goes away, it leaves you just exhausted and tired. And then it comes back again." "That's it, doc. Do you know what it is?" The doc says, "I know exactly what it is. Tell me, what is it?" And the doc says, "Well, it seems to me like you have your halo on just a little bit too tight." Anger is like that. It's like a headache. When we get angry, I mean, just observe yourself. You get cut off on the road. "Well, they can't do that to me." Someone insults you. "They can't talk to me like that." Pride, anger, your ego has been wounded. So how do we get free from that? Well, from the inside out. You allow Christ to come in and replace the anger with peace and love and a new perspective. That person over there, they're not my enemy. They're my friend. My friend in Christ. And we get free when we loosen our halo. For what does Scripture tell us? Scripture tells us that God opposes the proud, but God gives grace. God gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you're willing to make us new. That you're willing to deal with us and all of our moods and tempers, temper tantrums, that you give us hope. Help us to reconcile and to make peace, to love, that our worship may be acceptable to you and true and enriching. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.